Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I got a note from Tim, who pointed out a story to me from Canada, and this is a story out of the National Post, which leads me to believe that Canadians have got many of the same problems Americans do, and that is property disputes, people fighting with their neighbors over property lines and so on. Now, I did a video not too long ago called Can You Fish on Someone Else's Property? 5.196, I'll put the link below, where I talked about the idea that if there's a river going across your property, are people allowed to fish in that river? And it varies from state to state, but for instance, in Michigan, if the river is navigable, someone can fish in that river. But if the river is not navigable, then to get to the river, they're probably trespassing, so you cannot necessarily fish on someone else's property. But it depends on the river and definition of navigability, and again, from state to state. But what we have here out of Canada, and this is a story out of the National Post sent to me by Tim, that neighbors have been fighting over the use of a pond. And the pond technically is between the two neighbors' properties, and the property line runs over a little piece of the pond. So here's what happened. The people who have the bulk of the pond on their property ran a fence through the pond, but down their property line. So the fence is on land, and then it crosses a little corner of the pond, and then it continues on land. But by fencing that little section of pond off, it keeps the people on the other side from entering the pond and doing anything other than just entering and staying in a little tiny corner of the pond. And so in many places in America, that would not be legal. And apparently in Canada, it isn't either. So here's the deal. Alberta's top court is not sitting on the fence when it comes to who has the right to make use of a disputed reservoir in Bear's Paw. Bear's Paw, there's a good name for you. It's kind of like Moose Jaw. In fact, it even rhymes with Moose Jaw. In a ruling issued last week, a panel of judges on Alberta's Court of Appeal upheld an earlier decision that found a barrier constructed across a 2-hectare reservoir just west of 12-mile Cooley Road on Calgary's western border unfairly restricted recreational access to the waterway to a property that backs onto it. The less-than-neighborly dispute began in 2013 when property owners Debbie McDonald and Doug Spark posted a no-trespassing sign on a floating platform just meters away from the home of Mary Lou Eric. And that's before they erected a fence that restricted the household's use and access to the pond to just a mere sliver of the pond. And again, they put a no-trespassing sign out in the middle of the pond. The acreage owners argued because their property line intersected the man-made reservoir up to the area where the fence was constructed, they had the right to use the water as they saw fit and to restrict access accordingly. But in January 2017, Alberta Court of Queen's Bench Justice Barbara Romaine ruled that McDonald and Sparks did not have the right to fence off the water and ordered them to remove the fence. During those hearings, the couple had constructed a pair of other fences on their property line on the pond that were also ordered removed. She chided both sides for their behavior in the fracas, which resulted in allegations of harassment, vandalism, trespassing, and multiple calls to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, but no criminal convictions. And, you know, here's the thing. If somebody puts a fence in a way that restricts your legal access to something, can you really be blamed for things that might happen to that fence when no one's looking? But you can certainly climb over the fence and continue on your way, you know. So if someone's unlawfully blocking you, there's no doubt that all the protagonists of the dispute have been guilty of nasty conduct, the judge wrote. The appellate judge's ruling upheld Romaine's decision and noted that while landowners are legally entitled to build fences on waterways that sit on their property, they can't do so without the permission of those whose rights to use the water would be restricted. And here's the issue, and I'm reading into this because it's not explained as well as I'd like, but there's a pond filled with water. And the bulk of the pond is on one piece of property, but part of the pond spills over onto someone else's property. Now, the people who have the majority of the pond on their land are saying that they made this pond and they've got the right to control how it's used. Well, if you made the pond, why is it spilling over into someone else's property? If you had made the pond entirely on your property, you could have run that fence line on dry land and kept people out of it. But by having that pond spill over onto the other piece of property means that if that pond is, you know, navigable, you're going to lose your right to restrict people from that pond. At least that's how it is in many Western cultures. So remember, this is Canada, not the United States. The Eric home, which is one of the two homes, is barricaded from the Bear's Paw Pond by a fence that you can actually see in a Google Maps screen grab from outer space. I know it's not outer space. I'm just trying to be hyperbolic here. And if you'd like to, I'll put a link to the story in the description below, and you can go look at these photographs. Since the respondents obviously object to the fence, the judge correctly concluded that the appellants had no right to maintain that fence. While the appellants would appear to have the necessary authority from the Crown to construct a fence, that fence would interfere with the common law rights of the respondents. So, on the one hand, apparently under Canadian law, you can build a fence through a pond. Okay? But you can't do it if it restricts people who would otherwise have lawful access to that pond. Reached Monday, McDonald said she's disappointed in the decision and she's considering their next steps, not ruling out a potential challenge before Canada's Supreme Court. Quote, I am disappointed. It's taken away my right to fence my parcel of land. Well, your right to fence the land does not trump other people's right to access the water. My privacy has been totally destroyed because of this decision, she said. McDonald said the reservoir is primarily planned to be used for livestock, which she currently maintains two Appaloosa horses, two ponies, and a goat named Tim. His name is Tim. And the fences were erected to keep the animals from leaving the property across the water. As I'm sure you know, goats are mighty good swimmers. Somebody, please let me know if that's the case. I had no intention of using the reservoir for recreation, she added. Her neighbors, however, say with the ruling they'll be free to use the water for kayaking, swimming, and ice skating without the fear of waking up to find a new barrier impeding their access. It's a very great relief, Eric said, of the decision. As far as I'm concerned, things are done. They can't stop us from using it. Eric is a 67-year-old retiree, and she said she and another neighbor who joined the legal challenge have already spent thousands of dollars in the six-year battle, and she hopes the ruling from Alberta's Superior Court will finally put an end to the conflict. I just hope it's over. I don't want to move. So that's the situation with the pond in Bear's Paw, Canada. And like I said, I'll put the link in the description below, but these are the kinds of things, you know, neighborly disputes over fences, property lines, and water usage or access are among the most common things. Back when I had a radio show in Flint, Michigan called Leto's Law, I used to take phone calls on all manner of topics because people would just call up and say, I've got a legal question for you. And one of the things that as soon as someone called with the question and I answered it, I would then get flooded with other phone calls from people asking for the variations in their situation. And it was almost always something to the effect of, I live in a house, I own a yard, my neighbor who lives next door owns that yard. And there's property disputes. And one of the most common ones I'd hear was those caused by trees. Okay. There's a tree that literally grows up right through the property line. Right, like the line of the property, if you drew a dotted line, would go right through the tree. Who owns the tree? That kind of thing. My neighbor has a tree that leans over my yard. And it drops walnuts on the roof of my house. Number one, they're noisy. Number two, when it rains, the walnuts make weird stains. My neighbor has this gigantic maple tree. And in the spring, those little helicopter spinners are all over my yard. And then in the fall, these gigantic leaves fall in my yard. And people ask questions like, you know, I got to clean that up? Or could I go to the property line and trim that tree straight up? Or if the tree grows out of the property line, could I theoretically cut the tree in half right down the middle? And I'm not going to address any of those questions. That's number one. It would take more than one video to do. And number two, it varies from state to state. But in many places, you own your property from the property lines straight up. Now, I'm not going to get into drones and airspace here. But property disputes are extremely common. You hate to see them go to court like this because most people would have predicted how this would come out. And so it makes you wonder, does the person who's putting up those fences really think they're going to win? Or are they hoping they can outspend their opponent in court, which is never a good reason to be in court? So that's a situation from the National Post out of Canada. Thank you, Tim, for sending it. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.